passage. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it. But it's good to look at old passages again. Maybe take a fresh look at them. Luke chapter 15. We'll start at verse 1. We're going to read a little bit. Okay. I'm reading from the ESV. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Let's go to verse 11. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" It's God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that you speak to us, God. Thank you that it comes from your heart, Lord. And I pray that you would just speak through me today, God. That you would reveal and share all your heart, Lord, that's revealed in this passage. God, I pray for your grace as I preach it. Pray for the anointing of your spirit. And I pray that, it will do a work in all of our hearts today and draw our hearts to you. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We all get a little bit lost in life sometimes. Any of you ever felt lost before? Maybe some of you guys have been lost in the past. Maybe some of you guys are feeling a little bit lost in your lives right now. I think that's a condition that just being a human being, just being a person, we all can relate to. Some of us were lost continually, over and over again. And you see, this passage that we read here, it's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. It's all about being lost and what God the Father does to find us. And you see, to understand this story, to understand this passage, We got to understand who the characters are. So let me give you a brief background first, and then we'll see how they're both lost, both characters. So there's two ways to be lost, two types of characters that are lost. There's one father who searches and seeks after the lost and brings them back home. All right, you guys got that? Okay, so let's look at the characters, right? So who's Jesus speaking to here? Who's the audience? We read in verse 1 and 2. Right? First, there's the first group. There's the tax collectors and the sinners. These are the bad boys. You know, they be up to no good. You know what I mean? They be hanging out in the wrong side of the neighborhood. They be hanging out late. You know what I mean? They be doing stuff. You don't want to ask what they're doing. They be doing the shady. These are the sinners. These are the prostitutes. These are the people who, it looks like they're very far from God. They're living lives that are nowhere near what it should look like to be a follower of God. So these are the tax collectors and the sinners. But here's the interesting thing. They're always flocking towards Jesus. They're so drawn to Jesus. They're so attracted to Him. There's something about Jesus. There's something about this man, this Son of God, where sinners are continually drawn. That's the tax collectors and the sinners. And then there's the other group. There's the Pharisees and the scribes. These are the people in the church. You know, they come to worship early. You know what I mean? They lift their hands when we sing praise, hallelujah. Or actually, maybe they don't. Maybe they just keep their hands in their sides, probably, right? They're very religious. They say their prayers. They give their tithes. They're very obedient. And there's these two groups. There's the sinners, the bad boys, the bad girls on one side. There's a good little worshiping church people on the other side. And these two groups of people, they don't really hang out too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't really, like, party together. They don't really sit down for meals. They don't really invite one another over to each other's homes and just hang out. Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, you know, I'm gonna go out to the clubs. You know, I'm gonna be bumping up in the clubs. We have some fun. What are you gonna be doing? Oh, I'm gonna be reading my Bible. And I'm gonna be praying. You know, they're not hanging out too much, right? And here's the thing. There was a problem because the sinners and the tax collectors kept coming to Jesus. And then the Pharisees and the scribes, they're the religious people. And they were like, man, Jesus, they were all grumbling, right? Other versions say they muttered. They grumbled, right? They just see Jesus hanging out. Now, why is he hanging out with them? Right? I thought Jesus is supposed to be a man of God. I thought he's supposed to be a prophet. What's he doing? And so they don't like what he's doing. They're grumbling behind his back. They're talking smack. They're looking down. They're casting their glances down on these sinners and on Jesus. And so that's the occasion where Jesus tells three stories in a row, back to back to back. It probably means it's an important point that he's trying to make here. If you tell three stories that have the same central point, that means you're trying to get something across. This is something very important for us to understand about who God is and how he deals with people, how he deals with us. You see, because what we see here is when we read this story, many of us know this story as the parable of the prodigal son. But actually, there's two sons, and they're both lost. Because there's two ways to be lost. You can be lost like a tax collector and a sinner, but you can also be lost as a Pharisee and a scribe. See, you can be lost outside the church, and you can be lost inside the church. The younger brother was lost outside the father's house. The older brother was lost inside the father's house. And so what we see here is everybody's lost. We're all lost. Tax collectors and sinners, they're lost. The younger brother's lost. Pharisees and scribes, they're lost too. Everybody's lost. That's why Jesus starts with this parable of the sheep. We didn't read it, right? Verse 3 through 7. But he talks about the parable of the sheep and the lost sheep. You know, the thing about sheep is they always get lost, right? Sheep are like, you know, they're not the smartest animals in the world. They're actually not that cute either. You know, on the cartoons and the TV, they look all cute and white and fluffy. They're actually like pretty dirty. They got like all these bugs on them, and they're really dumb. And you know, they're just always getting lost. Like your shepherd's trying to lead them, and the sheep just goes bah bah. It just goes off to one side. The shepherd's always got to be bringing them back. But anyways, the point is, we're all lost. We're all like sheep. And whether you are a sinner or you're a Pharisee, whether you're a younger brother or an older brother, we're all lost. That's what the Bible says. See, the Bible says no one is good, no one is righteous, no one loves the Father just for who He is. No one obeys God just for who He is. But each of us, we're lost. It might look different. Sinners and Pharisees, they look very different. You know what I mean? On the outside. But on the inside, they're just the same. Everyone's alienated from the Father. Everyone's estranged from God. Every one of us, before the Father had mercy and brought us to Himself, every single one of us, we were lost. Maybe you grew up inside the church. And you grew up in church, and maybe you're still in church today. You might still be lost. I don't know. It's possible. You can be lost inside the house of God. You can be lost inside the Father's house. But we're going to look at these two sons and the two different ways to be lost. So let's start with, we're going to start with the younger brother, because it's the famous one, right? The younger brother. We all love this story. It's a moving story. It's a powerful story. So we see this younger brother, and, you know, the father has two sons. And the younger brother, he goes to the father and he says, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." Basically, in those days, the inheritance, the father's property, was given to his sons. And the oldest son would have double portion, right? Twice the amount that the rest of the sons would get. So the older brother had two-thirds and the younger brother had one-third of the inheritance. And the younger brother comes to his father and he's like, "Father, give me mine. Give me what belongs to me." Actually, what that word for property there, the word in the Greek, that word actually means, it's the word bios, which actually means what? Which is where we get biology. It means life. What's he saying there? He's not just saying, "Father, give me your property." He's saying, "Father, give me any part of your life, your life. I don't care about who you are. I just want what belongs to me." What that's saying there is basically the son was like, "Listen, I don't care about you. Father, I don't care about you. I don't care about a relationship with you. I just want what you have for me. I just want what you have to give me." And you see, the father actually had to tear up his life to give it to his son. Why? Because back in those days, you know, they didn't have huge bank accounts. They couldn't liquidate their assets. Some of you guys have been doing that for the Shemitah. But, you know, they couldn't do that. All the wealth back then was in flocks, it was in herds, and it was in land. See, and so in order for the father to give what belonged to the younger son, he had to take some big steps. And that was a humiliating step, especially in the Middle East back then, in the ancient Near East. But this is what the younger son said. He's like, "You know, give me mine. You know, daddy, I don't care about you." So he takes his money. He goes off to a far country. You know, in America, it would be like Las Vegas. Right? In Australia, I have no idea what it is. Is it Sydney? What's the sin capital of Australia? I don't even know. Right? Oh, right. King's Cross, right? He's going to King's Cross. He's chilling with the prostitutes. He's doing some reckless living. Okay? And this guy's lost. Why? The younger son is lost because he doesn't want a relationship with the father. He just wants what the father can give to him. And you see, so many of us, we've gotten lost like the younger brother. Because even if we grew up in church, maybe we fell away, maybe we backslid, maybe we turned our hearts away from God. We said, "God, it's not you that I want. I don't care about a relationship with you, worshiping you, loving you, obeying you. I just want your gifts. I just want you, what you can give me. You know, I just want to have some fun. I just want to enjoy this world, the money in this world, the girls, the pleasures, the good things, the finer things in life. I just want to enjoy those things. And you know what? That's like some of us. That was kind of like me too, right? You know, way back in the day. Okay. And you know, this is the younger son. And he was lost outside the father's house. So his situation gets so bad. We're all familiar with this. But his situation gets so bad. He spends all the money, right? And so he's so low that he has no job, that he has to find a job feeding pigs. I mean, think about that, right? Like some of y'all, you know, you did some humble jobs in your life, right? And, you know, respect to you for doing that. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I'm not going to share my stories, but, you know, maybe like, you know, doing some humble things. And, you know, this guy, he was feeding pigs. He was in the pig pen. And he wanted to eat what the pigs were eating. That's how low he was. You know what I mean? I remember, man, you know, some jobs, all work has dignity, right? We had the series on work. But some jobs, you know, it's just very humble. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you know, like those men you call up to fix your septic tank. You know what I'm talking about? The septic tank where all your toilet stuff goes, right? All your poop and all your junk. And, you know, they got to fix that stuff. I mean, that's a humble job, right? You gotta get your hands dirty. You gotta do, you know, this guy, he was even going lower than that. He was working with the pigs. And that's how far he had gotten from God. So this younger son, he's really lost. But we see the father's heart, how it goes out to him, right? Because this younger son, what happens when we're like this younger son and we're lost like this? When we've fallen so far from God, because we knew we didn't want God. We just wanted to enjoy this world, enjoy this life. We turn away. And this is how we often feel. We feel like, oh, just like the younger son, he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. This is how we often come back to God. God, I'm not worthy to belong to you. Just let me work for you. Let me be your servant. You know, I'm no longer your son. I'm no longer in your family. I'm no longer worthy to be called your own. But let me just serve you. And sometimes, a lot of times, this is how we turn back to God. Because that's who we think God is. We think, oh, I sinned. I've fallen from God. And so God, let me serve you. Let me pay you back. Let me repay my debts. You know, I'll start going back to church. I'll feel really bad for my sins. I'll hate myself and I'll make new resolves and I'll turn over a new leaf, you know, sometimes we loathe ourselves for our sins. We think we're paying God back for our sins. And we say, God, I'm not worthy to be welcomed back into your house, into your family, into your fellowship. But we think, I'll just work for you. I'll just earn my way. I'll show you. I'll do my duty. And that's how the younger son thought. But you know, the beauty of this story is the key to the younger son turning was that it says in verse 17, he came to himself. You see, this is a turning point in the younger son's life. And this is a turning point in many of our lives, is when we come to ourselves. You see, sometimes we're like the younger son, we're so lost in this reckless living. We're so lost in enjoying the things of this life, the things of this world, the good gifts that even the Father gives, that we lost sight of the Father. And we're enjoying all this. And we don't see God. But there comes a point when you hit so low, when you realize there's nothing left, when you realize you're just feeding pigs in the pig pen, when you realize no one will give you anything, all your friends have abandoned you, there's nothing left. When you reach that point, that's a turning point. That's a good thing. Because that's the point when the younger son came to himself. He woke up. A light went on. You ever have that point in your life where you felt like you were so far from God, and you felt like God will never receive me back. He doesn't know the things I've done, how far I've been from Him, how I deliberately rebelled and strayed and lived for myself. But there's always hope, because if you can come to yourself, if you can just wake up and just see, you know, the son, he just reasons to himself. It's the best day of your father's life. And the older son's like, best day of my father's life. For this fool, this younger son, this son of yours, are you kidding me? See, this older brother's lost too. Why? He doesn't go inside the house. He lived his whole life inside the father's house. But now when push comes to shove, it reveals he does not belong inside the father's house because he also does not love the father. It looks like he loved the father, but it says he refused to go in. I will not go in. The father's like, dude, it's the best day of my life. Kill the fat calf. We celebrating. We're dancing to the good music. You know, we're having a good time, eating good food. Man, that sounds like a good party, right? I want to be at that party. You know what I mean? Sounds like fun. Younger brother, older brother, he don't know how to have no fun. He doesn't want to join in with the joy of the father. Because you know what? He doesn't care about the father. The father, it says, the father came out to meet him. Think about it. The younger son humiliated the father by taking all his possessions away. Now the older son is humiliating the father by making him come out to meet him. I refuse to go in. Let my father come out and explain himself to me. The dignified, old, Middle Eastern patriarch, the father. I mean, think about that. He demanded his father to come out and meet him. I will not go in there. I will not join in with this celebration. I don't care how joyful you are, Father. I don't care what this means for you. I don't care how important this day is in your life. Explain yourself. And what does it say? Verse 28. The older brother, he was angry. You see, some of us, we're lost like the older brother. We may be in the Father's house. We may be in the church. We may be going to worship. We may be saying our prayers. But you can still be lost inside the Father's house. You can still be lost even when you grew up in church. Just because you grew up in church doesn't mean you belong to the Father. Oh, snap. Did I really say that? Well, just saying, it's right here. He was angry. Older brothers are angry. It also says, he answered his father, look! How many of you guys talk to your father like, look, father? I'll never say that to my dad. Aboji, you know. I don't know how you say that, right? Pa. I don't know. Okay, well, he says, look, these many years I have served you. That word there is the word that means I've slaved for you. Is that loving the father? Father, I slave for you. He doesn't love the father. He doesn't obey the father out of joy because he loves the father. Why is he doing it? It's all out of duty. It's all out of discipline. There's no joy. There is no joy in this older brother's life. The older brother is the Pharisee, and there is no joy in these religious people's lives. See, you can be religious and yet be lost spiritually. You can be really, really religious and go in a church and in the Father's house and yet be so far from God, just like this older brother. How do you know you're like this older brother? There's no joy. You obey God, no joy. I'm slaving for you, God. I'm slaving for you. It's been a grind, but I've been slaving. It's been all duty, but I've been there every Sunday. I didn't cheat. I didn't lie. You know, I obeyed all your commands. What are you doing, Father? There's an anger about him. Any of you guys ever feel angry towards God? All the brothers, they feel angry at God. They feel resentful. Father, give me what belongs to me. I've slaved you these many years. You've never even pulled out a young goat, not to mention a fattened calf. You've never done anything for me. God, Father, what have you done for me? See, why is the older brother obeying the father? Not because he loves the father. It's because he wants the father's things. Just like the younger son. The younger son didn't want the father. He wanted the father's things. The older son, he didn't want the father either. But he just did it inside the house. Religious people, they don't really love God. They don't really want God. They don't obey God just to please God and just for God's sake. No, they do it so that they can be blessed. They do it so that God can be good to them and bless them and give them a nice job and nice blessings and a good life because I've been slaving for you, God. How dare you let this happen to me? How dare I go through this hard time in my life, God? I'm angry at you. I demand an explanation. Why have I been serving you all these years? What have I been doing my whole life? Older brother, religious on the outside, but inside, so far from God. You can be so near to God on the outside, and yet be so far in your heart. It's a scary thing. See, the way you know that you are truly a Christian, that you truly belong to the Father, is that you love God, you love the Father, and you serve God just for God. You see, religious people obey God to get things. Christians obey God to get God. We just obey just to please God. Just because you love Him. Just because of who He is. Just because you want to delight Him. Because that's the most important thing to you. That's what makes you happy. Giving joy to your Father. But religious people, they slave for God. It's all a grind. Serving on the service team. These heavy chairs. No one else moves these chairs. Why am I the only one every Sunday cleaning up the trash? You know, no one cleans the sanctuary. Do people know how much I'm serving God and doing all these things? How come He's not blessing me in my life? How come I didn't get that job I was looking for? How come that relationship didn't work out? How come this didn't work out? How come that didn't... That sound familiar? Maybe. He's lost. I never disobeyed your command. Isn't that scary? You can never disobey God on the outside and yet be so far. You see, some people go to church all their life and yet they are not truly a Christian because they have never loved God just for God. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever done just something just to please God? Just because it brings joy? Even though no one else would know about it, it was just a secret thing between you and God. And just because you knew, this delights God. I love to do this for my Father. Or is it all duty? Is it all just lack of joy, pressing through? I'm not saying Christians never feel this way. Right, Christians, we can fall back into this kind of spirit from time to time. Just like sometimes we can fall back into the younger brother's spirit too. But you know what I'm saying? But a Christian has experienced what that's like. You also see, verse 30, the older brother says, you know, you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends, but when this son of yours came, wait, this son of yours, that's your brother, dude. It's like, he ain't my brother. He's this son of yours, Dad. What's he doing there? He's looking down. He's judging the younger brother. That's a judgmental spirit. That's a condemning spirit. See, religious people, they love to judge. They love to look at everybody and say, oh, you don't do this? Look at how I live. You don't live up to my standards. Oh, you didn't come to church that week. Oh, snap. You know, they look down on people. Oh, you don't tithe? Oh, you don't pray? You don't come out to prayer meetings? You know, you don't obey God in all these areas of your lives like me? You don't pray this many minutes a day? You don't do all this stuff? You know what I mean? That's a religious spirit. Yeah, those are good things to do. You should obey God. But not because it earns you anything. Not because it makes you better than other people. But man, religious people, they're always looking down. Some churches are so full of religious people, that's why no younger brothers want to go there. Because a younger brother goes there, immediately, they're like, oh, snap, judgment. You know, they just walk inside. They see people's eyes. You know what I'm saying? Yo, what's that guy doing here in church? Doesn't he know this place are religious people? What's he doing here? Yeah, I knew what he was doing that weekend. This is how some people used to look at me, right? I was trying to come back to church. And I remember people would be like, what's Paul doing here? You know? I saw him this weekend. I saw what he was doing. And I was like, stop judging me. I don't care what you think, right? But man, you know, you're like a younger brother. You don't want to go to those churches. This is the older brother. First of all, I don't... Man, older brothers are no fun. They're not very fun. You don't really want to hang out with them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they're just the killjoys, right? You try to have a little fun. Oh, thou shalt not do that. Oh! What did you just say? What are you? What movie did you watch? What are you? You know what I mean? But man, look at the father. The father's heart went out to the younger son. The father's heart goes out to the older son. Like I'm saying, like younger brothers are a little bit easier to love most of the time. Because you know what I mean? They're not all cold and self-righteous and standoffish and judgmental. You know what I mean? Like they're just a little rebellious, but they know how to have fun. You know what I mean? You can relax. You know what I mean? But man, the father still goes out. He still goes out to the older brother. Even when the older brother humiliates him. The younger brother humiliated the father, and the father still went out. The older brother humiliated the father, and the father still went out. And look what he says. Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. Who the heck is this father? Who is this father? If I was that father, I'd be like, this son of yours? What? Do you know how important this day is to me? Do you know I'm throwing a party? How dare you humiliate me like that? No, he doesn't come out like that. He's like, son, you are always with me. And all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad. For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. He's pleading with the older brother. He's like, don't you see? Everything that belongs to me, it's yours. My arms are open to you too. My arms have not rejected you. Why do you hate your younger brother? Why do you begrudge me and my generosity and my grace? You see, the older brother's problem, the reason he was lost, is because he thought he earned his way to the Father. But you see, we're all lost because we're lost from the Father. And the only way we can be brought back to the Father is by grace. And it's by mercy. It's not because we've earned anything. You may have given up 2 years of your life to do an international church plant. Let me tell you, your life is still all grace. It's all mercy. Everything that God gives to us, He says, all that is mine is yours. Not because you've earned it. It's yours by grace. Because that's the kind of father I am. That's the kind of God I am. That I give generously. If you would just humble yourself and repent and receive. You see, the older brother, at the end of the story, he's still outside. He's still outside the house. He's no longer in the father's house. Religious people, religious people, do you know how they get back in the father's house? They also have to repent. The only way the older brother will get back in the house is if he let go of his good deeds. Of the way if he would let go and stop saying, all these years I've served you and you've never done anything for me. That's what's keeping him from entering into the feast. Entering to the Father's joy. It's his self-righteousness. It's because he thinks he's good. Self-righteousness will send more people to hell than rebellious and wild living. I have no way to prove that. That's not like a scientific algorithm. I'm just saying. Might be wrong. That's just what I think. Man, how many people, because of self-righteousness, because they thought they were good, they thought they were moral and good and righteous people. I'm good enough. You know, if I ask you, why does the Father accept you? Why should God receive you? If you say, well, you know, because I try pretty hard. You know, I've been pretty good for most of my life. I try to serve God faithfully. If that's your answer, your self-righteousness is keeping you from entering the Father's house. You got to let go of your self-righteousness. You got to let go of looking down on other people and thinking your good deeds make you any better. Because everything you have is pure grace. It's pure grace, undeserved, given freely, not because you've earned it, not because you've slaved away for years, but just because the God who is our Father, it's just who He is. And the younger brother had to repent of his rebellion, the older brother also had to repent of his rebellion. You see, the way we are restored back to God is when we start saying, whether you're the younger brother or the older brother, when you start saying, God, you're the one I want. And I come to you only by your grace. Whether you're a sinner, a younger brother sinner, whether you're an older brother Pharisee, whether you're a mixture of the two, that's kind of weird. Like maybe like one week on the weekend, you're like an older brother, or a younger brother, you know what I mean? On Sunday, you're that doesn't even make sense, right? Anyway, you get what I'm saying. Right. But man, the beauty. See, Jesus, there's these two groups of people coming to him. Sinners and tax collectors. The religious Pharisees and scribes. And Jesus, his heart is going out to both. They're both lost. Every one of us is lost. But no one is too lost that Jesus doesn't reach out to us. The story, the heart of the Bible is that there is a God who loves us. No matter how lost we are. No matter which way we're lost. Whether it's the first way or the second way. We have a Father who continually, diligently pursues and seeks after our hearts until we will turn to Him and worship Him just for who He is. Have you let go? You know, I just want to close this message, and I just want to plead with you. If you are a younger brother and you've been straying from God, I just want to plead with you. Turn back to God. Turn back to God. Those ways that you know that are not pleasing to God in your life, the Father's waiting for you. He wants you to turn. He's calling you back. His heart is welcoming you back. If you would just come to yourself, if you would just turn your heart and your life, and you would just turn to Him, He will lavish you with His love. And I also want to plead with the older brothers who've got a little religious spirit. We don't got that joy. Have you forgotten who the Father is? Have you forgotten why you're serving God? Do you feel like it's all duty? It's all the grind. Have you forgotten the joy of your Father? He's calling you back into the feast, into the party. I'm telling you right now, heaven, like we've been talking about end times. Like, you know, in my CG, I'm not going to name who, but, you know, a couple of people were like, man, what do we do in heaven? You know, this is like a church service all the time. It's so boring, right? I'm not going to say who said that. But it's like, nah, man. You know, heaven is a party, man. You read Revelation and you read the description of what heaven is like. It's a feast. There's a marriage supper. There's a marriage feast. As Christians, we are the bride. We're getting married to the bridegroom, who is Jesus. There's going to be joy. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be music. There's going to be dancing. There's going to be good food. There's going to be all that. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be party. And I just want to call you back to that joy. I just want to call you back to that joy. We serve the Father. We obey the Father out of joy. Just for who He is. Remember who He is. Let me tell you, there's no God like this God. There's no God like this Father. What kind of Father is like this? Even when we humiliate Him over and over again, He calls us back and He welcomes us. Let's return to Him. Let's come to Him. All right, let's pray.